And a very pleasant good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live, broadcasting from the auditorium of Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas. Just for the record, this is the last program of 2021. Your host is Mark Meek, and your co-host is Natalie Thomas. Good evening, Natalie.
Well, good evening.
I thought I'd throw that in there, that this is the last program of the year, because I kind of keep count on those things, you know.
So. Yeah, I know, and I appreciate that. I like knowing those things, and I cannot believe, where has this year gone?
I don't even want to think about it.
I'm like, it was just the new year, and now here we are. Yeah, mm-hmm. This is crazy.
Absolutely.
Well, did you survive Christmas?
I want to tell you, Christmas was 2 weeks ago for me, so that's not a problem.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. Our Christmas was a week ago, so you know what? We made it through ours, too.
Yeah. Yesterday was just lunch with Mom and a little quiet thing, and that's an hour and a half of my week, you know, and that's all I have to worry about. So.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
well, good
great.
Deal.
It's good.
All right. Well, we want to welcome you guys here tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tonight here we have, two people, two guests with me tonight. Well, they're guests on the show, but, we have, my husband, James Thomas, and then we have Aaron Mercer, which is our pastor of Cornerstone Church here in Wheeler. That is going to be at 601 South Main Street. And I'm just really excited to have you guys here. Thank you for joining me tonight.
You are welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to be here.
And so now we are. We've survived Christmas. Christmas is over. How's everybody doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm kind of like all of you guys. We had an early Christmas, and so we're just going to keep on coasting. We did good.
Well, good deal.
That's right. Already out of leftovers.
I know. Thank goodness, because I don't think I could handle any more sweets. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, we're talking about Christmas, we're going into Christmas, and there's this devotion that I heard actually at the beginning of the season. I've been going through this devotion, a Christmas devotion. It was every day through the month of December. And it was talking about, and it actually so happened during a time when I was decorating for Christmas. And so I'm kind of going back a little bit, and I'm decorating for Christmas, and I'm like, how am I going to decorate? And I decided I wanted to put lights on the outside of my house, and I'm doing all of this. And I'm reading this devotion, and this devotion goes in and talks about what people do to get ready for Christmas. And you think about that, and you think about how we decorate, we go out, we cook, we make our candy, we decorate, we put our lights out, and all those things are good. But one point that they made in that was, we celebrate every year the birth, the beginning of Jesus. But what are we doing to, and we prepare, but what are we doing to prepare for his second coming? He visited us here once. We know he's going to come back again. And what are we doing to prepare ourselves for that second visit, for that second coming, for that second arrival, so to say? And so, I don't know, that just really hit home with me.
I'll tell you, one of the things with James being on this program, he and I have talked about a lot of times, what would you do if you knew Jesus was coming back tomorrow? That was the day, and you knew it. There was no, you know, ifs, ands, or buts about it. What would you do? Things would change in a hurry. I mean, you'd get radical about things. You'd change. You'd turn off the television. You'd be going to everybody you knew, telling them what's about to happen. You'd be texting everybody you couldn't go to. And, I mean, you're just thinking about, you know, guys, we got to get ready. And, you know, usually when I have that conversation with James, we talk about it and get fired up. And then I go home, do what I've always done, and don't change a thing. But that's one of the things I think about a lot, you know.
Well, I do, too.
Yeah, I think it's always okay. Even if it was a 1 year, like you knew you had 1 year left, you know, what would you do, or 1 month or whatever? And you get this list. Well, I know I wouldn't do this. You get a big list of I wouldn't do's, going to work being one of them, you know. You wouldn't worry about the stress of a job paying bills, you know. I ain't paying the light bill this month. We're going to do something different.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
Then you wind up not, like you said, you don't do any of it. You know, you get that wish list or whatever, you know what I mean? And you don't usually, most of the time, you don't change much of any of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really where I was, you know, as you were talking, I'm like, you know, we say we would go do this and we go do that. And I'm thinking, I don't know. I mean, I would like to think I would, especially if I knew the exact time and the exact hour that I would go out and do that. But you know what I really think about sometimes? I would just eat the dessert. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I want to help. You know, that's just one of the things. I mean, like, eat the dessert. I want to eat the dessert. I want to do the fun thing. I want to do. But that's like that. And so that's a good. That's good. That's something that we talk about at our house too a lot.
You know, you may be onto something there. You think, well, you probably really wouldn't. You know, it's kind of like Sonia and I. We went and ministered to her granddad when he was about to pass away. And he had never made a profession of faith, and he's got cancer, and he's literally struggling to breathe, not expected to make the day. Sonia's talking to him about the gospel, and she gets finished kind of presenting the gospel, and I said, well, I said, are you ready to receive the Lord? Can we pray with you to receive the Lord? He said, I'm just not ready yet. And I said, well, sir, you need to be getting ready, because I don't know how much more time you have. And he knew. I mean, he was a guy that knew, hey, I'm fixing to be out of here. And still couldn't make that shift in his heart. Now, I do think he ended up making a few more weeks, and he was able to make that confession of faith. But you think about somebody that knows, I could be gone any minute, and they'd be like, I don't know. You know, you may be on something that, you know, we are what we are, and we've got to ask the Lord about that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I know it's, you want to give up some stuff, and you want to keep doing some stuff, so it's, if I can just hang in there a few more, you know, we ain't got but a year left. I don't even worry about salad, you know.
<That's right.
laughs> Giving up salad, first thing.
It's always about the food. Why did he have to make food where he enjoyed it so much? I mean, it's just sugar. It just tastes so good. I mean.
Well, that's the first thing that the devil tempted man with, Adam with, was food.
Yeah.
And then that's the first thing he tempted Jesus with was food.
Well, I never thought about
so
that.
So that's one of the greatest temptations and trials we have in our life is overcoming the food. The devil's got us.
You know, that's, and do you think that has to do with maybe a self-control thing?
It's self for sure. Dying to self, and that's one of the hardest things to do is the buffets.
Yeah. Deny to self.
Yeah.
In fact, when I left the house, okay, so here we still have a few desserts laying around, different things we're trying to shift into. The new year, last broadcast of the year, last weekend of the year, whatever we were at, but we're talking about shifting in, and we got all this laying around, and Sonia's making a salad as I leave the house, and I always think when I see salads, and then we've got a few like hot chocolate bombs she's been making for the kids,
yeah.
We got a few of them, I thought, you know, I bet before the devil came and brought sin into the world, salad tasted like hot chocolate, and all the good stuff that you're supposed to eat, salad and vegetables and all that, that tasted like candy. And now, and then all the stuff that was bad for you tasted bad. So you only ate what was good for you, and it all got flipped. Now, I hadn't found that in the Bible yet, but I think that's probably true. When we get to heaven, we'll find that out.
We'll enjoy what was supposed to be good.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, that does make sense if you think about that a little bit. Well, you know, I was watching this broadcast today, and you were talking about the real meaning of Christmas. And in Philippians 2, I believe it's verses 6 through, I don't know, 18 right in there, Paul talks about Jesus coming. But before he came, he actually laid aside who he was as God. He was already there, but he laid aside who he was as God to come to us in the form of a baby, in that lesser form, to come to us so that he can make a plan for us. And I was thinking about that, that wasn't the beginning when he was born, because he actually was here before he was ever born. And that's what he was saying. God's already here before he was ever born. He just decided to lower himself, to come down and make himself as man so that he can come walk with us and live as we live and to follow through with the plan that God had for us. And then that is the true gift of what Christmas is.
Well, I think that's so true. I think that is exactly right, that he, and I, you always wonder how he processed things in his mind, because he was fully man, fully God. So he was walking on streets and eating food and all that stuff that he had created. He was the creator of all things. And here he is having to participate in his creation. I wonder how he, wonder how that all worked out. I always wondered about that. Because he was fully God, and he chose, without ever ceasing to be God, to lay down all the rights and privileges of God, which to me would be even harder, to because, you know, you're God and you have all this stuff, but you lay all that aside to come down to this place. And man, I'm just thinking that is so Christmas, and it's one of those things that one of our Christmas Eve skits that we did when we did our Christmas Eve service. It was Mary, and Mary was saying, she's sitting there rocking this baby, and she's saying, man, I did not know what was going to happen in my life when I said yes to that angel. And all of this took place, and she goes through this drama, and she says, and I can't even imagine all the yeses that you, here she is holding this baby, that you, little baby, have already and are going to have to say to the Lord God in order to accomplish your purpose. And man, that so touched me. I think, man, I just want to keep saying yes to God. He did so much for me. He had to sacrifice so much for me. I just want to keep saying yes to him, you know.
Right. I heard a preacher preaching this, and it's not exactly accurate, I don't think, but it made me think. And when Jesus was born that night, all the angels covered the sky, the heavenly host, and they looked down upon him, and he was saying that the angels had never seen God's face, and so they wanted to see what God's face would look like. So I went and looked at some scripture, and it says angels see his face daily. So I don't know, back to biblically, but when you think about that, when you have a baby born, everybody wants to go see the baby. Well, these angels wanted to see God's child, you know. They just covered, and I heard, I think it was somebody else was talking about how they covered the heavenlies solid where the demons could not see what the child looked like.
Wow.
The angels blocked that, but they all blocked it out of blocking the demons. The demons couldn't see what he looked like. Plus, they wanted to see what God's child looked like, and it was pretty powerful.
Wow, that is. That's powerful. That's neat.
Yeah, and that actually was one of the things that I was hearing today, and I knew that we were looking at that scripture about the angels, and that's what he said, that the angels all came because they wanted to see his face for the very first time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I mean, whether it was the first time he'd seen the baby's face, for sure, you know.
Yeah. Right.
And so it's not harping on nobody's preaching or whatever. I'm not saying it wrong. I'm just saying it was powerful that those angels were so excited to see God's son, what he looked like, and just see him. You know, like people, like we go to the hospital to see a baby. And it was just sitting here earlier, it popped in my head when you was talking about the second coming. I was like, I bet those angels are flipping out now, nothing like they was when they first seen him. Mm-hmm. And they see him saddling his horse, you know, and getting ready to come back or whatever. I bet those angels are really excited now about seeing, knowing it's about to, you know, the second one's about to come.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, sometimes I think about, it just keeps going through my mind. It's like, God ever get, when he gets here and he's like, what was I thinking to coming down here to be with these people?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I've thought that many times, like, oh boy, this. Yeah.
Oh, he may have had salad. He thought, devil, I'm going to take you out. This used to be Snickers.
Yeah, that's right. I've thought that many times. Like, how hard was that to, you know, one of the things that I just look for goofy questions in the Bible, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I like that.
You know, just goofy things. Like, here they are, Andrew and is following after Jesus with one of the other disciples. I can't remember who the other one was. And they're following Jesus, and he stops and he looks at them. God here, the Messiah. And they say, he looks at them and says, what do you want? And they could have said anything. What do you want? Anything you want. And they said, where are you staying? I'm like, what? Where are you staying? You had Jesus ask you what you want, and that's the best you can come up with? And I'm thinking in days like that, he's kind of like, golly, guys, come on. Yeah, you know, give me something, you know. Yes. And there's just all kind of stuff like that, you know. And hear Peter bragging at the Last Supper. I ain't never going to deny you. I don't care what they do to me. I'm going to stay with you. You know, okay, Peter, here we go again.
Yeah,
you know,
like, okay,
what's
Peter,
what's he thinking, you know?
Maybe he forgot the boat.
And so you know how we get frustrated with people. You know, with being God and knowing all you know, you're probably like, you talk about somebody who knew how to walk in love. Jesus had to do it, boy.
Oh, yeah. And then, like I say, he would say, where is your faith? Like, I have been teaching. Y'all have seen me do this over, and have you seen me fail yet? No. Everything that I've ever told you has come to pass.
Yeah.
So where is your faith? I mean, he had to be like frustrated about, well, maybe I got the wrong 12, you know.
You know, that makes me, you know, we did the season one of The Chosen.
Yeah.
And to me, that really brought light to the reality of Jesus's life. You know, I think sometimes because of the Bible, we get the, oh, thee, thou, and thou, and it was all, you know, but it wasn't. Mm-mm. Jesus was just like us. He had a personality. He joked around. He had to deal with the disciples that were just like us in the middle of all of that. And I think about that. And then also I was thinking, you know, we're thinking, come on, Peter, get yourself together. Why would they do that? If it was me, I would do it different.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we know better than that.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you. And I think there are just so many times, you know, that I've done that same thing. Like, well, God, what's up? Are you going to sit there and just let this happen or let that happen? You know, and just not remember what all he's done, you know. I even remember the time when he fed the 5,000, okay. At the end of that, he's talking to his disciples, and that's when he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you're not worthy of me. And one of the disciples says, do you think he wants us to go buy food? And then he's like, come on. And, you know, that's when you could tell he's like ticked. You know, he's like, come on. I'm sitting here with 12 baskets of leftovers. You think I need food? I just fed 5,000 people with four loaves and two fish. You think I need food? You know what I mean? So thank goodness for his long suffering, his mercy, you know, and
his grace.
And his grace. Because I've done that same thing. What are you trying to do? What's going on here? And
it's kind of like that message that you've been teaching on about going to our purpose, you know, having the different plans, and God saying recalculating.
Oh,
how many times have you had to recalculate my life because of the decisions I decided to make?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I said, there's no telling how the stacks of plans. Well, the Lord just had to keep throwing them over his shoulder with the new plan because I'm blowing that plan out of the water, you know. But thank God he's got a million plans and he's not ever worried about it, you know. But I just think that is so good to be, if we could think about, if we were really in front of the Lord and he really came back, you know, right now. And a friend of mine was teasing with me the other day. I was trying to call him, a pastor friend, and he finally called me back and I said, man, I've been worried about you. I couldn't get you called. I thought you might got raptured out. He said, I did. I'm in heaven. And the Lord said, you missed it and you're in trouble. Yeah, you know, and so I thought, man, what would happen? You know, that just kind of, you need to start thinking about that kind of stuff. But I mean, you know, we got to be ready because I'm telling you, if you're not paying attention right now, just as sure as he came the first time, you better get ready because we're fixing to see it. I really believe that.
I know when I went to work last time, I drove down on Thanksgiving Day. You know, and I had never in my life seen Walmart and McDonald's close together at the same time in the history of me living. I've never seen it. And I just couldn't believe it. And I didn't realize it until I got to about Plainview, and I thought, what is going on? You know, I was like, this is what it's going to look like when the rapture happens. Ain't going to nobody be nowhere. The towns are empty and the cities are empty, you know. And then I was at work, actually, and I guess I was thinking about that when I was sleeping, and I woke up and my house is right by the road, and a truck had drove by and made this big old loud bang. I don't even know what it was, but it was just like a sonic boom, what it sounded like. And I just kind of woke up thinking, hope that wasn't a rapture going out because I'm still in this bed. I don't know. I didn't care to call somebody. What was that noise?
Yeah.
And, but I mean, I think it's, you know, it's going to happen, you know. Sooner, like you say, and he says it's we're not going to be thinking, we're not thinking it's going to be a time when we're not expecting. And so I'll ask myself a lot of times, I'll be like, just talking to you, hey, are you expecting Jesus to come back today? No, I don't think it'll be tonight. Well, you better watch out. You better get ready because that's the night you think he's coming, he won't come. So this helps with that, I think.
You know, it makes me think about, you know, whenever he said, be watching, I'm coming back. And so what did they do? They went and sat on the hill and were looking where he ascended and was waiting. It's like, and finally said, no, you come on now. You got to go to work and keep living life. And so that's how they thought they were going to get ready for his return.
Yeah, they were right next.
Over.
Okay, here we are. You know,
let's just sit here and wait.
Yeah, he's going to Amarillo, get Walmart, and back. He'll be back.
That's right.
So,
And so with that being said, okay, so now here we are, this many thousands of years later. What do we need to do as Christians to prepare?
Well, I think, you know, the first thing we really need to do is really look and see, is Jesus in the center of our life? Because he's not really concerned about what you do, or he's concerned more about your direction than he is your perfection. So are you really seeking after God? I'm not saying, are you perfect at it? I'm not saying, are you just staying up 24 hours a day praying? But I mean, is your heart really and truly after God and want God and all those other things? And if God's just an afterthought for you and you're just kind of, oh, you know what? I hadn't been to church in 10 weeks or 8 weeks. I need to go by, you know, or whatever. I need to send my money in there, you know. And you're just kind of, church is an afterthought, you know, kind of like your you know, first cousin on your mama's side. You don't really, you know, I better call him. It's his birthday. You know what I mean? I better go by there. If he's an afterthought, I'd be checking myself. I mean, I'd really recalibrate my life, because this is not time to be casual about your relationship with God.
And it's not coming to church on Sundays. There's going to be a lot. If the rapture happens at 11:30 a.m. on most morning, you know, on regular time,
yeah,
there's going to be a lot of churches still full.
I promise you there will be.
Because, I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, it's not coming to church. Entering the building is not going to do it.
That's,
you know,
not.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that, or, you know.
Well, you said, I'm sorry, go ahead. You said something that just really struck a chord with me is, you're not going to have everything right. And yeah, I think that that's where sometimes, believers or Christians or people, mm-hmm, they think they have to be right before they can get right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's not the case.
Yeah. It's a misconception. The devil's really deceived us. We think we got to get right, and you can't get right. You have to be made right. By the work of the Holy Spirit. There's no getting right. You have to be made right. I've told people all the time, and I told this story the other day. A lady was at the Dollar General here at Wheeler, and I went in, got me 2 half gallons of a Bluebell, a Dutch chocolate, and a homemade vanilla.
Imagine that.
And that surprised. I know it don't surprise y'all. And so I'm walking up there to the checkout. When I get to the checkout, there's a lady in our church standing in front of me. She's got 2 cartons of cigarettes that she's buying. And she turned around and sees it's me. She says, oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry. I know I need to quit these cigarettes. I feel so bad. I just can't quit. I know I need to quit these cigarettes. And I said, hey, precious lady. I called her by the name I won't right now. And I held up my 2 ice cream. I said, we all got our problems. You pray for me and I'll pray for you. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And so God is really, I mean, is he concerned about the things in your life that he's talking to you about? Absolutely. Is he mad about it? Does he want to punish you for it? No. He wants the best for your life. He wants you to lay those things down so that he can bring his purpose and plan into play for your life, not to condemn you, make, you know, or punish you. And the main thing he wants to know is, are you serious about me? Do you really want a relationship with me?
Yeah, right.
You know, if you had a marriage and you only went to see your wife every 8 weeks for an hour, your marriage ain't going to go very long and it ain't going to work out.
Well, it won't make the 8 weeks.
It's not going to make the 8 weeks. That's well, exactly right.
And I thought your message last week was amazing, because it said that to give God something, you want to give God a gift. He wants your bad stuff.
That's right. That's what he's asking
for. Give him the junk. You know, he wants your habits and your
absolutely,
whatever that you can't do. That's what he wants. And I thought, man, it was so good, because like you said, what are you going to get Dad? He has everything. You don't just, man, give him your bad habits. Give him your pain. Take the pain.
Absolutely.
I thought that was so good.
That's what he wants. But the devil makes us think that we got to fix all that
right
before we can come to him.
We deserve the pain.
When the truth is, you can't fix none of that
right
until
right
you come to him.
Right. And he'll take it.
And so that's the whole big deception, you know.
Well, and we get into that deception, and we want to bring our best. So once I get to my best, I get this all done, I can bring God my best. When God says, I want you to bring me you, I want you to bring you, like what we're talking about, bring you your worst so that I can make you your best.
That's exactly right.
He wants to make us our best.
He absolutely does. He absolutely does. And you just can't fall for that lie that you got to be right. You got to behave. And I'm going to be honest with you. The church has helped the devil out a lot.
A lot.
In that regard, to make people think you gotta come and you gotta be right and you can't do this and you can't do that and we want you to stop doing this before you can do this. And I'm like, man, why don't we just love them and show them what the scripture says and let God work the way God works instead of us trying to make them who we want them to be.
That's,
you know,
right.
And so the church has been right there in partnership with the devil, kind of precipitating and furthering that lie that you better start acting right or you won't be able to be welcome here. And so what's happened is the church has had this stance where, well, if you believe what we believe, then you can belong. But we need to change that and say you can belong here even before you believe, because we believe when you come here, you'll meet God and God will teach you whatever he wants you to know.
Right.
And then you can take the steps he tells you to take, you know.
To me, it's like a rumor. You know, devil just started. He started the rumor a long time ago.
Yeah.
About being right and perfect.
Yeah.
And he's never said another word about it.
Yeah,
he probably
right.
hadn't said anything about it in 4,000 years.
That's right.
The people have done it. You know, it's like you tell, you want somebody to know something, just tell them. And before you long, you know it. It's all over everywhere, you know. And we even tried that one time at work, me and the guy I was working with. We said, hey, let's start a rumor that we're getting a raise. You know, we had this one salesperson, you know, that would tell everybody everything.
Yeah.
So he says, I'm going to tell her that we're getting a raise, you know. And then before we knew it, boy, everybody was talking about it. You know, I mean, it didn't take 2 days. And everybody heard we was getting a raise. You know, we thought, hey, worst we did is get a raise, you know what I mean? And so it spread like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think the devil, he knows that too, you know?
He does.
And he's implemented that. He ain't had to say another word about it. He just started the little deal and set back. And now in the church, like you said, the church is doing his work.
Oh, yeah.
And so people are like, I can't go to that church. Well, you got to be, you know, it's full of those righteous people. We can't go in there. They'll kick you out, you know? And the bad part is there are churches that are that way.
Still, I mean, to this
unfortunately,
day.
There sure is. You can't, you know, one of those, if there's smoke, there's fire deals. But, you know, there is a church somewhere that's not like that.
That's
so,
right.
You know, you may have to go to all of them to find that one. But
that's right.
Anyway, and, God wants you in one of them.
And, yeah, and that's the other thing is that if you can keep God, like we said, your center, it's not about church. I mean,
right.
Church is going to add to you, and you're going to have a difficult time navigating your walk with Christ without a strong church behind you. But it's not about church. I go to church because I love God, and he loves me, and the people there love me, most of them. You know, you're never going to find a perfect church, you know. And at least it might be perfect, but then when I show up, it ain't perfect no more. So, you know, it's one of those things. But it's not about what you do, you know. It's, you know, just like people get all, especially preachers, get all tied up on their prayer time. And I always feel like, I don't feel sorry about it now, but it used to make me feel embarrassed. Because you get around a bunch of preachers and they say, well, I've been praying 2 hours every day. And then the next guy, well, I pray 4 hours a day. And the next guy, I pray 6 hours a day. And coming around to me, well, you know, I do my best to get in about 30, 40 minutes. Yeah, you know what I mean. You know, and so, but you know, I don't want to just make something happen and set the clock and sit there and watch. I want a real, authentic relationship with God.
That's right.
You know, where I'm connected with him and talking to him throughout the day. And, of course, you're going to start your day with some Bible reading and some prayer. But, I mean, you know, and I heard a guy or I read it somewhere. Like, if you treated your wife like you treat God, okay, I'm going to give you 1 hour a day. And, man, I'm going to tell you right, that 1 hour, I'm going to give you my undivided attention. I'm not going to look at my phone. I'm not going to look at the computer. It's just going to be you for this 1 hour. But then when that beeper goes off, don't mess with me no more. Don't talk to me. Don't look at me. I don't want to spend no more time with you. I'm going to go out and be my friends and do what I want to do. But you get 1 hour. But then after that, don't mess with me. God don't want a relationship like that. He don't. He wants you to be connected in everything that you do. You know, one of the things that I kind of talked about on Christmas Eve, we were fixing up. My brother came in from Houston. We had a big Christmas before Christmas, and we were fixing up all this stuff. We got to talk about my granddad, and because he was always big on sampling the food. So me and my brother were making laps around the kitchen sampling all the food everybody was making up. We got to talking about Peepaw, and I sat down at the table, and we're still talking about Peepaw, and I just got to missing him. You know, I mean, I miss seeing him. He was so funny. He'd be sick to his stomach before we even got to the meal because he couldn't quit eating all the stuff, you know. And so then Blaze, who hardly ever wears a hat, comes walking up. He hadn't even been in the room. They've just been running around playing. He comes in the room wearing this hat. And every time he wears a hat, he cocks it a little bit to the side like my granddad did. And so he comes walking into the kitchen. He gets right in my face and kind of gets up on my leg, puts his arm around my neck, and he just looks at me and says, "Love you, Dad." And I look at him, and I see that hat cocked over, and it's like my grandpa walked in the room. And I'm just like, see, that's the relationship I want with God.
That's
he
it.
Knows that I'm kind of struggling. I wish my granddad was here. Well, he just walked in the room and said, "Hey, I love you." You know what I mean? Because
right.
God knew my heart was like, "Ah, I wish I could see my granddad." So he arranged it. Yeah. That's what a relationship is. If my wife calls me and says, "You know what? I'm thirsty. I sure would like some tea." My little happy honey's going to go get some tea and show up on our house, on our doorstep with some tea right quick, because it's going to pay big dividends later. You know
that's
what I mean?
Right.
And so that's the way God is. He knows I love him. And when I feel like, hey, when I feel something impressed, hey, I want you to give that guy $100, or I want you to go talk to that guy, or I want you to go invite him to church, I'm going to go do it. Because I know whenever he sees me down, he sees me needing something, he's going to be, "Oh, he needs that." You know what? He does what I ask. I do what he asks. He handles what I need. I handle what he needs. And it's a real relationship. It's not some weird priestly relationship where I meet him 1 hour a day and then don't think about him again. You know what I mean? It's a real relationship, you know, and I think that's where God's wanting us to be.
That's right. And relationship. And that's really what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, is it is about relationship.
Yeah.
It's not coming to church and becoming a Christian. You know,
yeah.
I was talking about you can't go in a garage and become a car,
that's
you
right.
know. And so it's not about coming to church. Now, church is going to help you be stronger,
sure.
going to help you remember what the Word says. It's going to be able to strengthen you to face those things that you're going to have to face. But it's about involving God in every area of your
that's
life.
Right.
And I know the example you used years ago was, I'd never understood how you put God in everything, you know. And I'd always just had that, you know, when you talk to God, when you pray,
yeah.
early in the morning,
yeah.
when you eat, and when you go to bed, you know, that's it.
Right. That's what you
and
mean.
Then you kind of, that's all God gets, you know.
That's
and I,
right.
I didn't know any better. I didn't know any different. But when you use the example, I know we're talking about food and holiday pies, what?
Yeah.
But when you said when God is the center of that pie, and so in my yeah. mind, you cut the pie off, you got these little diamond-shaped, triangle-shaped pieces of pie.
Yeah.
So God's the center. So the very first bite of everything that you do in your day
yeah.
should be God.
I love that.
That was when you told us that, and I just clicked with me. Maybe pie is the way to get to me to see it.
Yeah.
But that was so good.
I
understood that in such
yeah.
a way I've never understood it before.
Yeah.
So no matter if you're going to work or if you're going to the Walmart, good Lord, you need a double portion of the first bites of if you're going to Walmart. But, you know, in anything yeah. and everything that you do, you should start that first bite of that piece of pie. Okay, just a piece I'm trying to bite, mm-hmm. that first bite. Is God.
And I love that.
If you do that, it just so much, it so helped me in doing that. And I don't always, sometimes I do like the Pizza Hut, you know, you're trying to start at the back and go forward and leave God to the last sometime, which I shouldn't. But, you know, I just, that was just such a good analogy
yeah.
that God's that center piece of that pie, but when you take each slice out, that
yeah.
center is the first of everything you do. That was
yeah.
so good.
Yeah. I think that is so right. And it's like you mess up a lot. And you miss it, you know. And I've told the story a lot when we were in Sonia at Rose's Cafe, and this older gentleman, he kept coming up to us and talking to us while we were ordering our food and when I was getting tea, and he'd come up to the table. You know, it was a busy day. I was trying to hurry up and eat. I had a lot of things I was on my mind. We had to get back by a certain time. And so Sonia, you know, when we finally walked out, you know, and he was definitely connecting, trying to connect with me, and I just didn't pay attention to him. I wasn't being rude to him. I just wasn't paying
attention.
You had
some food to eat.
That's right, food to eat. You know, I had some tacos in my face. And so when we were walking out the parking lot, Sonny said, I can't believe you didn't witness that guy or pray for him or something. And then it hit me like, well, of course, why didn't I? You know what I mean? And so then my prayer was, dang it, Lord, would you please send another Christian down here that would talk to him and help him? You know what I mean? I sure miss that. And that's what I do. It's what we do in our relationships. If I offended you guys or if I missed an opportunity to be a blessing to you, I'd go to you and say, you know what, God? I didn't do that right. Would you help me clean that up? You know what I mean?
Right.
And it, because I'm in relationship with you, and he knows I wasn't trying to be rude to that guy or wasn't trying to disobey him. Even though I missed an opportunity he put in my face, he's God. He can recalculate it.
Right. He recalculates.
You know what I mean? And that old guy will run into somebody that will love him and show him what he needed me to do, but I was over here, off here somewhere, and I wasn't letting God be the center of my life. You know what I mean? And that's what I do with my wife. You know, my wife would be wanting me to do something, you know, and now after 23 years of marriage, she's learned not to drop hints. But in the early on days, she'd drop hints about, man, we ought to go out and eat, or let's go out, you know, we don't have the boys.
We haven't been out in a while.
Let's go ahead and been out. Yeah, we need to do that. You know, and I'm not paying attention to it. Now she'll say, hey, let's go Friday. Let's go do something Friday. Yeah, oh, that sounds good. Yeah, you know what I mean? And so, but if I do things or later on I find out my wife wanted me to do something and I miss that opportunity, I'll go to her and say, I mean, you know what? I'm sorry I didn't catch that. Let's do that or whatever. You know what I mean? And I think that's how God is, but we have this weird idea that God is just waiting for us to get out of line so he can punish us or hurt us, and he's not thinking that. He put all of that on Jesus, so he don't have any of that left. So there's no way he can do any of that, you know. So that's what I'm endeavoring to do, is just to reorient my life to where I'm seeing God everywhere.
In every situation.
Yeah, and I'm looking for him. You know, I'm looking for him. Where are you? Where are you right now in this situation, or where are you right now in this moment? You know, and that's what I'm trying to get to.
And I relate myself, you know, is in my love walk, trying to stay on that love walk, because people are so knocking you off. You know, it's bumper cars, man.
Oh man,
you're trying to do good, and they're whacking you in the back. You know, but when I think about that, how I relate to that, I don't know how this works, but I always check, because maybe we're doing the gauge deal with the marriage, just help part of it, but I really have lately been, I want to check my oil, because and it goes back to my lamp oil of the, when they run out of oil, they didn't bring enough oil. When Jesus comes back, they didn't have enough oil, so they had to go get more oil. And so that's me. I'm like, okay, have I still got enough oil? I need my love walk. My love oil's getting low. I want to have plenty of oil when Jesus gets here in my love tank. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And it's kind of helped me not get so bound up about it, because I was like, don't use all your oil on that person. You need to save some. And I don't know, that parable keeps coming back to me about I check my oil, and it's because, and it's that, you know, have enough oil for my lamp that I can still be a shining light, you know, not a bug zapper, but just a shining light.
That's funny.
I like that.
You know, you were talking about having someone come to you, you know, and, you know, actually it was kind of, I was going through a situation where I knew there was some animosity between me and somebody else, and I was praying for that situation because I wanted it to be resolved, but it wasn't something I could just go to that person. Mm-hmm. And so I just began praying, Lord, I just pray that you would help me, you just help bring that person back around. Yeah. So that when I see them, then I can make a point to love on them and to make it right.
Yeah.
And I bet when I started praying that, it wasn't a couple of days later, and sure enough, and I knew it was God. I was knew it was God that he made that appointment for me to be there for that person to make it right, and to fix that relationship. And it's God in every little area of your life.
That's right.
Just being mindful of him. He cares about the parking spots.
He does.
I mean,
he cares.
He cares about our relationships. He cares about the things that we care about.
He does, and it doesn't. And that's the thing. We want God to get the big things and do the big things, but He wants to be in everything all the time, and He really is in everything all the time, you know. And that's what I'm trying to. Lord, let me see you in all of these different situations, and wherever I am, I want to see you in how you're working and how you're moving and things that are happening, and that's really what it's almost like. That's what theme of the coming year is I think God is going to be showing up in lots of different areas. And a verse that popped up on my phone that I thought, man, this is where we're headed, is in Habakkuk, and it says, for as the waters fill the sea, the earth is being filled with an awareness of the goodness of the Lord. And so I'm just like, man, I just want to be aware of God everywhere that I go and everywhere that I am. And so That's kind of where I'm not setting any kind of major resolution for the year. I'm not, you know, going crazy with all this stuff. I'm just like, God, I just want whatever it takes for me to be more aware of you and what you're up to. That's what I want to happen this year. Cause I'm like, I mean, it's just like every time, and I've cut my news off. All I got is a streaming device, but I'll go on Flashpoint with the Copelands or Newsmax on the TV. And I'm looking around all this stuff going on. I'm like, dude, this is not the time. We got it. We better figure out where God's at and stick with him.
That's
you know what I mean? Because we are living in a different time right now. And, you know, we've always said, well, I heard that my whole life. I promise you, you ain't never seen it like it is right now. It's never been like it is right now.
Yeah. No, I know. I don't think anyone's ever seen it like it is right now.
Yeah, that's right.
I wasn't having a depression, but I don't believe it was like this.
Well, there are just so many things that are taking place that you would never, ever dreamed it would happen in America.
Mm-mm.
That you never. And, you know, as God, talking about God being in every little area of our life, and seeing God, you know, it's different for every person.
It is.
God can show up to James in a certain way and show him who he is to James that I would never see.
That's right.
Because it's going to be different to him and how it is for me. And it's like you. Mm-hmm. If Blaze was to come sit on earlier, whenever Blaze came and sat on your lap and you talked about that, that wouldn't have meant the same thing
that's
to me.
Right.
Or to Sonia or anybody else, but that's how God loved on you.
That's right.
And that's one thing that we have to remember as believers, that it doesn't always look the same for everybody.
It doesn't. And it's like we always say, well, God loves everybody the same. No, he doesn't love everybody the same. There's a great book. I've never read it, but Sonia's read at least three quarters of it to me. It's called Without Rival by Lisa
Bevere.
That's it. I was going to say Turkhurst, but I knew that wasn't right. Lisa Bevere, Without Rival. And the whole purpose of that book is God does not love us the same. He loves us uniquely. He loves us the same in he loves all of us, but he knows how to love you just how you need to be loved. And it is just a really good book, and it really just makes you feel like you are God's favorite. You are. And you are, and you are, and you are, because he loves you perfectly. He loves you perfectly. And that's why we need him. That's why we need to be connected in him. Because you know what? Our husband is not. Our wife is not. Our leaders are not. The only person who knows how to love you perfectly is Jesus. And that's why you need him.
That's right. And then when you get loved imperfectly by somebody, he can fix that, and he can cause you to
absolutely
be able to have that peace and that goes through there, that goes when that happens.
That's right.
Is he can do that. You know, and what better person than God that knew you? He formed you in your mother's womb, so he knows everything about you. He knows things about you we don't even know because we weren't old enough to remember. And so
that's
what
right
better than have that kind of God to come and to love on us and be in relationship with?
Absolutely. And that's what he wants to do for us. He wants to love us perfectly. And I just don't want to miss that. That's what I'm asking.
Yes.
I want to see that happen. Because how often is he just, what are the things he's sparing us from? What are the things that he pours out on us that we don't even notice? You know, I'm really bad about all that. Like I don't notice half the stuff that Sonia does for our family. She keeps all the laundry. She keeps all the house. She's got three boys in the house that do very little to help her do anything. But I don't see it, right? And God's the same way. He's pouring out blessing on us all the time. And I'm like, Lord, I want to see it. I don't want to just blow by it like it doesn't matter to me. I want to see what you're doing. And I want to be in the middle of what you're doing. And I want to, you know, I just want to be there and experience all that.
And I think it's, like you said earlier, it's the seeing the goodness of God. Because I don't think there's a lot of people out there that understand that God's a good God.
They don't. There's a lot.
There's so many that believe that there's a hell. They've heard it. And if I'm not right, I'm not good. I'm going to it.
Yeah.
But they don't never get to hear the good side of God. You know, and it's I don't think I had, if I had heard it, I didn't hear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't have ears to hear back then if it was said. I don't believe much of it was said. Most of it was you either be right to act right, or you're not going, God's going to get you.
That was my whole deal growing up. And just this last Sunday, I say God good, devil bad, at least every three messages, if I don't say it every single week.
Right.
And I had a lady this last Sunday who has been here, I mean, maybe not a bunch, but a fair amount.
Right.
And she come up after the service and hugged me. She said, God good, devil bad. I never heard that in my life. That is so easy, so powerful. I never heard that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know you have.
But we
kind of laughed about it. But, you know, dude, that's what you're saying. Just because it was said don't mean I heard it.
That's right.
You know
that's
what
right.
I mean? And so thank God he's still working with us. And that's why he says it. That's why it seems so many times that, you know, we have to say stuff over and over.
And I think we get so confused and caught up sometimes that God is about punishment.
Yeah.
We associate God with punishment, that's what you guys are saying is punishment. And what we have to start seeing is God is about love. God is love. He is nothing but love. He is love. And that is the whole purpose of why we celebrate Christmas. He loved us so much that He gave. He gave Jesus so that he could be in communion with us. He could be in relationship with us, because we're just not going to get it. And he knows that. And he says, that's okay. I still love you.
That's so right.
And it's not about punishment. We have to get past that.
We do. And that's so true. So true.
Yeah. And I think, like, he walked among us. He knows we're not going to get it.
Look, man,
if God himself walked and can't teach 12 people to get it,
we're
never going to get it. We're going to have to just pour it all on Jesus.
He's going to be like, oh, help him, huh?
No way. He's probably on the right side going, listen, God, I know. Look, I was with these people. They ain't going to get it. Just love them, Father. Just love them.
That's right. And that's it. You know, you can think about, which he knows all things, so we're being funny, but it's like, well, you know, because Christianity is the only world religion where the God that we follow came to get us and came to rescue us. All the other world religions, we got to somehow figure out how to get up to them. You know what I mean? And it's almost like God was up there like, well, I guess I'm going to have to go down there myself and fix this up.
Turn his car around.
You know, that's exactly right. So thank God he did, you know.
Well, and isn't that the beauty of it? Isn't that why Jesus came and he died and he rose from the dead so that the Holy Spirit can come and be with us here? So he is here. God is here. He's in the form of the Holy Spirit. He's here to help us and to be with us along the way and to help us and to be a strength to us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank God for it, too.
Because without that, we'd be lost.
We'd be lost.
And I was reading a devotion this week. It might have been today, but it was this week. And it was talking about when we pray in the name of Jesus and just the name of Jesus, that the devil just cringes and looks for a place to hide when someone that knows how to use that name, the power of that name, speaks that name. Because Jesus whipped him so bad. You know, and it seemed like it made a reference to like a bull whip or something, you know, when this, you know, like you, something been hit with a bull whip one time, they hear that bull whip crack, boy, they got, they're hunkering down, thinking, hope it ain't me.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so good because the devil's like that. He may be trying to pick on you and bullying on you, but when you start using that name of Jesus one time, he hears it, he's out. I'm not going to be around just in case he shows back up.
Uh-huh.
He got whipped so bad.
I love that.
And that's so, if we know, we got that power, you know, but most people don't know we got that power.
That's right.
Most people don't know. We know about Jesus, but we don't know that he gave us the authority to use his name.
Yeah.
And so it was good that just to say, it makes me think of the Lion King, that movie, you know, when they're hollering Mufasa and they're all hyenas all hunkering down. Oh, do it again.
Yeah.
But I don't think Satan's saying do it again. He's saying be quiet, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
But it gives you that, just to know that if the devil ever comes against you, you think you can't do it. All you have to do is say that name and he's out. He's gone.
That is so true.
Because he got the tar beat out of him.
Yeah.
He don't want to be back, you know.
That's right. Well, Aaron, tell us a little bit about Cornerstone Church. We've got new. We're at the last Sunday of the year. Well, you got big plans for Cornerstone next year?
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. We've got two series coming out that we've already completed. The first series is called To the Future. It's going to happen this next Sunday, January the 2nd. And it's To the Future, laying a foundation for a better tomorrow. And it's all about practical ways to put God in the center. What we've been talking about, y'all didn't even know that, but this is what we've been talking about this whole time. And it's about practical ways. Okay, I want God to be in the center. How do I do it? This is practical ways. And it don't have anything to do with praying 2 hours a day. It don't have anything to do with reading the Bible through in a year, which I'm all fine if you want to read the Bible through in a year, but look out because Leviticus is coming. Anyway, so, but it don't have anything to do with any of that. How in my everyday real life, going to work, taking care of the kids, running to basketball and all the different things I'm running to, how can I put God in the center? How can I lay that foundation so that my tomorrow looks different than my today? And so that's all we're going to do. That's going to be 4 weeks. And then what else we've been talking about tonight, y'all just you think y'all been looking over my shoulder, is what the world needs now is week two, and or not week two, that's going to start in February, first okay. Sunday in February, is what the world needs now. It's all about love and what love is, who love is, and how to love in every situation. And because if you love, that's the thing that never fails. You don't know what to do. You're like, I don't even know what to do with this. Love never fails. You know, and you find yourself at a loss. I don't even know what to do about this situation. Go back to love. Whatever love looks like, whatever love means, and go back to that. And it's practical ways of just loving people and being a person of love and letting God's love flow out of you, because I'm going to tell you, most of your problems are going to leave your life automatically when you become a person of love. It just will.
Yes, and I tell you, that's one thing I love is practical. I am such a simple person. I need someone to say, hey, this is what you do. If you do this, you're going to succeed. But also, too, if somebody out there is wanting to listen to some of these messages and tune in to what you have going, do you have a way available that they can tune in?
Absolutely. There's lots of ways you can tune in. We're on Facebook Live every Sunday, 10:30 a.m., and you can tune in right there on Facebook. It's just Cornerstone Wheeler. And we'll pop right up. You can like our page, go right there to Facebook, and watch the service video. The service video is also streamed through Facebook on our website, cornerstonewheeler.com. And if you don't want to look on Facebook or be on Facebook, or if you're driving in the car, you can download the Cornerstone app. Just search Cornerstone Wheeler in your app store. Download the app. You can listen right on the app, right on your computer. And then we also are carried live. Jim may have to chime in and help me on this.
I was waiting to see if you were going to get it right.
I was going to try to say it, but I'm like, he's right here.
On the Legends Classic Hits Network, that's 98.9 in Wheeler County and 95.9 in Gray County in Pampa.
Great.
So there's all those ways.
And that message is also archived on the app and on the web page of cornerstonewheeler.com.
That's right.
And you can go back and listen to past messages and the entire series. Matter of fact, the last 5 or 6 years are archived there if you dig deep enough. But the current stuff's on top of the list. So every Sunday afternoon, it's already up there from that message. So
good deal. Right. Thanks to Jim.
Lots of stuff.
Thanks to Jim.
Oh,
I'm telling you.
That's exactly right.
Actually, Drew set it up. He just taught me how to do it.
Well, good deal. Well, I think that we might have us another guest that has joined us on the other line. Hello.
Hello.
Well, how are you, Mark?
Well, I'm doing good. And this is quite a pleasant surprise to hear y'all's voices so clear. That's great.
Yes.
And I really like what y'all are talking about love, and love never fails, and what a great message right here at the Christmas time.
That's right.
And so I heard just a little bit. I will be listening to the whole program on Sunday night, but right now I'm hearing it over the phone. So yeah, hey, it's good to check in and say hello to our listeners. Say hello, y'all, and we'll be back.
Well, good deal. We're glad you tuned in. We have missed your voice for sure. Sounds good too. Strong, sounding
sure
good.
Well, it's a lot stronger than what it was a few days ago. So, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, well, praise God for that. We're just really glad you tuned in.
Thanks. Maybe in a few weeks I'll be back in Wheeler and we'll get things rolling again.
All right, that sounds
good.
Look
forward to that.
Me and James will keep being the B team till we see you. All right.
Yeah. If you know, somebody said one time, we were talking about how important you feel, and they said if you want to figure out how important you feel, take a glass of water and stick your finger in it and pull it out and see how big the hole is that's in
there. I like that.
So, that's funny. Well, you're important to us, we really do appreciate you and everything that you do. So,
thank you. Amen. And I'll say good night and let y'all finish up.
Bye, all Mark. Right. We love you, bud.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Thank
good
you.
Night. Yeah. All right. Well, here we've got just a few more minutes left. I just want to remind you guys that we do have a Facebook page now, Sunday Night Live. And it's actually the address that you can find us is Sunday Night Live at Mark Meek and Natalie Thomas. And we try to advertise some of our shows on there and let you know who the guests that we have that are up and coming. But if you would like to contact us through that messenger and you would like to share your story or testimony, let us know and we'll see what we can do about getting you on here and sharing. And Jim's giving me the face.
I'm giving you the evil eye. It's easier than that, you know.
Oh, tell me. How easy is it?
You can just go to SundayNightLive.org website. There is a link to click to that Facebook page in case they can't find it, as well as the last six programs that we've aired are there to podcast to listen to.
Well, see, and that's why I keep you around. And I was going to go to the web page, but I thought, well, I'd do the Facebook. But that's right.
It's easier. Just punch the little Facebook logo on the web page, and there your Facebook page will open.
So, yeah, there you go. Yeah. And there's also a link where you can email me. My email address is on there. You can email me and give us a shout and tell us a little bit about you. And if you'd like for us to contact you, we'll sure do that and get you on the show. Well, we just want to thank you so much.
You always awesome to be here. Just to put another little promo in for Sunday Night Live, when you go to the cornerstonewheeler.com website, there's a little rotator up at the top that rotates all the things that are going on. And we just installed a Sunday Night Live rotator. If Cornerstone is already in your speed dial, you can go right there and click on Sunday Night Live and it'll open up their website. I have not personally went on and checked to see if it's on there, but I told Drew to put it on there. So I am about 90% sure that it is on there.
One of the things that we were talking about is listening to the news and what do we hear in the news and the negative things. And what we need to hear is God is on the move.
That's
He
right.
is on the move. He is doing things. He is working miracles. He is working in people's lives, but we're not talking about it. And that's what we want to do through Sunday Night Live is we want to let you know that God is on the move and that He is doing things in people's lives. And so also on our webpage, SundayNightLive.org webpage is a link to Cornerstone Church. So if you want to go in there and try to find the church's website, you can go to our website to do that as well. So we just want to thank you guys for tuning in tonight. Jim, what do you got going over there?
Well, I would just invite everybody to tune us in next year, as they have this year. We probably have some folks who've listened to all 52 of our programs this year. So we invite them to pick us up again starting next week.
Yes.
We're happy to be here. Remember, if you'd like a transcript of tonight's program, get a piece of paper and write down everything you think we said.
There you go.
That's right. And we'll be back next week, next year, for program number one of 2022.
Yeah, and I'm excited, so tune in.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, good night, everybody.